From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They come to the final 16th. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then it's still regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
Good Magic with the lead. Flame Away giving everything he's got but second. Sporting Chance third. Free Drop Billy in fourth. Linden Citizen fifth. Good Magic to the front of the field in the Toyota Bluegrass.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington Studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
It's Lone Sailor, Noble Indy, My Boy Jack, toward the rail, Noble Indy and Lone Sailor, Noble Indy, to win the Louisiana Derby.
Oh, what a wood this is. It is Vino Rosso in front. Enticed continues to battle him, but Vino Rosso's getting away. Restoring Hope is third. Vino Rosso Fantastico in the Wood Memorial.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented in the month of June by our friends at Woodbine Entertainment. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, with you once again in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios as the clock continues to tick down to the Breeders' Cup World Championships returning to Churchill Downs in early November. Now just 132 days, 4 hours, and 23 minutes away. And Jude, that will be here before we know it. We do these countdowns on the program, or at least I do these countdowns on the show all the time. And it seems like we start talking about 130 days, and then before you know it, it's 60 days, and then, you know, it's right on top of us. And that's what's going to happen here, much like the road to the Kentucky Derby. These Breeders' Cup prep races are going to come fast and furious, and it'll be here before we know it. Some Breeders' Cup Challenge action across the pond this past week at Royal Ascot that has been a bit of a crazy meet with some mixed results, some upsets, some horses that have been hard to figure. But three winning your ins in the books already. One more yet to come today, the Diamond Jubilee on closing day of Ascot.
Yeah, Ascot's been an up and down meeting for a lot of people, and even people that are in the know, supposedly, of the horses there and how they're training and everything have been puzzled by some of the results. I think the firm ground has more to do with it than anything. Kind of the opposite of what we've been going through in the Triple Crown here.
That's an interesting point.
You know?
Yeah, and you would think that the Americans would relish that firm ground, right? And they've done okay. They just haven't, you know, lit the world on fire over there at Royal Ascot.
Yeah, I don't think the contingent was maybe up to snuff as far as class-wise. Some of the horses have run well, you know, in general, but not really specifically. I mean, you know, finishing fifth or sixth in a race isn't exactly what you want to do necessarily. So, I don't know. I think, we're going to have to up our game a little bit class-wise when we go over there and make sure that horses are, you know, ready to run their top races. And, the system is so much different over there where the older horses, you know, have a tremendous edge over, let's say like the 4-year-olds that go over there. And, that's why I think Wesley does so well in the 2-year-old races, because it's the same age group and very similar weights. But once you get into handicaps and things like that, it's a little bit different kettle of fish. So, anyway, it's been entertaining to watch. Not tremendously profitable for most people.
Yeah.
And, myself included, but, you know, we still have some action today. We'll see what happens, but, the domestic races have been much kinder this week.
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, we did have those three Breeders' Cup Challenge win and your in events held at Royal Ascot this week. You had the Queen Anne on Tuesday, followed by the Prince of Wales on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, we saw the Norfolk Stakes. And then today it will be the Diamond Jubilee, which is a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. And, you know, those types of races in general, Jude, are always a bit of a crapshoot when you start talking about the turf sprinters. At least they can be in many instances. The way things have played out at Royal Ascot, probably no reason to believe that this one's not going to be wide open today, too.
Yeah, you would think, that, you know, there's several horses in with a chance. And, of course, the ground is still going to be firm. So, We'll see what happens.
All right, we're going to talk more about Royal Ascot in the next segment of the program. We're going to be joined by Pete Rotundo from the Breeders' Cup. He is going to join us live from Royal Ascot as he has been there throughout the week. We'll talk to him about the Breeders' Cup Challenge winners and get his thoughts on the experience of being there at Royal Ascot for this premier race meet. That comes up right around 8:15 Eastern time, so about 10 minutes from right now. Doug O'Neill had a massive weekend at Churchill Downs last weekend. You heard the races right here on the network as we broadcast the Stephen Foster and the Fleur de Lis. Doug winning the Stephen Foster with Pavel, pulling off an upset in there, punching his ticket to the Breeders' Cup Classic. And Jude, he's going to join us toward the end of the program as well. And somebody, we commented on it on the coverage last week, somebody who has had just a tremendous amount of success when he ships into Churchill Downs.
Yeah,
to say the least.
Two derbies. Other than that, you know. I mean, he's good when he ships. He brings some horses sometimes. It's funny because the night of the Stephen Foster, as I was leaving the track, bumped into Doug O'Neill and he gave all the credit to Paul Redham. Said, was Paul's idea. He was on the phone with him discussing the schedule of some of the horses and he said, what about Pavel? And Paul said, well, what about the Stephen Foster? And Doug sheepishly said, well, okay, if that's where you want to run, but he wasn't expecting that performance, but he sure, delivered. That was amazing race, visually pleasing. If nothing else, the favorites didn't fire and Doug's horse ran huge. So, maybe a new star is born.
Yeah, we'll find out. We'll hear from Doug coming up later in the program. He's set to join us right around 9:40 Eastern time. And then Ron Nicoletti will join us around 9:20 Eastern from Gulfstream Park. He's going to look back on the events that have taken place throughout the summer meet. It's been a strong summer meet for Gulfstream yet again. And he'll look ahead to next weekend's Summit of Speed program and that winning you're in the Princess Rooney for the Breeders' Cup. So we'll talk to Ron coming up later on in the program as well. It's one of those shows, Jude, where we have to kind of start in some respects here in this first segment with some very sad news. It is a sad day for the thoroughbred industry across the world. Many people mourning the loss of Chantel Lannery, who is the wife of jockey Corey Lannery. She was diagnosed earlier this year with breast cancer. She actually participated in the breast cancer walk on Kentucky Oaks Day. She joined us on our coverage that day, and she was so positive, so upbeat. Well, she lost that courageous battle yesterday in Louisville at the age of 42, and she leaves behind Corey and her young 10-year-old daughter, Britlin, and it's just so, so sad. They were, she was so respected in this sport, such a lovely, lovely person, and very, very sad. The racing community mourning the loss of Chantel today.
Yeah, just a brutal situation and such a nice family and always together. You know, you always see the three of them out. And it's heart-wrenching, really.
Yeah, and they are natives, her and Corey, both natives of Louisiana. The plan is to go back to Louisiana for the burial, for the funeral ceremonies, and then there will be a memorial held in Louisville at some point here, and they're going to announce that when they get the plans organized. But very sad news out of Louisville. Our thoughts, our prayers are with the entire Lannery family as they mourn that loss of Chantel yesterday. Quite often when these things happen, Jude, we see the tremendous good that we have in the sport of thoroughbred racing when these things, these tragedies take place. And I think this is going to be another example of that. And it seems strange to say that when so often we're sitting here talking about how this is a fragmented industry, nobody can get on the same page. We always seem to be fighting with ourselves internally. But when these types of things happen, it puts everything in perspective. And the outpouring of support from the entire racing community is spectacular. I read where Ron Paolucci, who has 9 horses entered at Thistledown today on Ohio Derby Day, is going to donate a portion of those earnings, anything that they earn, going to donate it back to the Lannery family to help out with anything that they need. And that's a wonderful gesture.
Yeah. Well, it's a very sad thing for a lot of people. I mean, she was as you say, highly respected. She was just a lovely person to be around and to see at the track or away from the track. And, you know, it's so young, 42 years old, and, you know, leaving a young daughter. And, of course, Corey, you know, very devoted husband, and just a brutal thing. So, you know, there are people in racing. You know, if the thing is, if you love animals, if you love horses, you know, you're going to love people too.
Yep.
And, you know, Twitter was just blowing up, even still this morning.
I mean, yeah.
People are waking up and finding out, and, you know, some of us knew earlier than others, but I mean, it has consumed my thoughts ever since I heard about it. So, you know, I just feel terrible.
Yeah, please keep them in your thoughts and your prayers as you move throughout your Saturday here, and you're watching the races. Keep them in mind, too. All right, we are going to get to a commercial break. Then we'll come back. Pete Rotundo is set to join us live from Royal Ascot. He'll look back on all that Breeders' Cup Challenge action. He'll talk a little bit about this afternoon's race, the Diamond Jubilee. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
He's as well-bred as horses get. As a son of Dinah Farmer, we see Temple City following that same path.
Archegalos has got it won. The Grey Stakes to Archegalos and scores too late.
Annals of Time just flew past him, and Annals of Time, a striking win.
Miss Temple City, Ironica's charging. Miss Temple City.
The start that he's gotten off to has just been spectacular. We're really excited about the future.
Temple City, now standing at Spindthrift Farm.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
This is Wesley Ward. I'm the conqueror of Royal Ascot. I listen to HRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Last year's Hampton Court winner strikes on. Century Dream, Lightning Spear, the far side, extreme left coming there. Rhododendron, Yoshida down the stand side. Century Dream, Ben Battle. Lightning Spear is getting there. Yoshida, Rhododendron with work to do. As they now run inside the last furlong, it's Lightning Spear challenging Century Dream, and Accidental Agent is finishing strongly. And then Yoshida and Lord Glitters close to the finish. Lightning Spear, Accidental Agent. Accidental Agent has gone up to win the Queen Anne for Eve Johnson Horton and Charles Bishop. Close second with, in the claret jacket, Lightning Spear, Century Dream, Lord Glitters also running on.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented here in the month of June by Woodbine Entertainment. Mike Penna, Jude Feld in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. That's the way the racing action began at Royal Ascot earlier this week. That was Accidental Agent pulling off an upset, big, big upset in the Queen Anne Stakes to go ahead and win that Breeders' Cup Challenge event. And Accidental Agent on way to the Breeders' Cup Mile later this year at Churchill Downs. And Pete Rotundo is with the Breeders' Cup, and he is with us now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, live from Royal Ascot. Pete, welcome, my friend. Happy to have you on board.
Hey, Mike. How's it going? How we feeling?
Everything's good. It sounds, from listening to the crowd in the background there, it sounds like you are at the races already. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's what a marathon. It's been 5 days in a row. It's like going to the Kentucky Derby for five straight days.
With a top hat on.
Yeah. No, the only difference, of course, is only six races, you know, and it's a little more, I want to say it's a little more civil in that sense, because there's only six races, you know. Everything is sort of condensed, but it's been an amazing experience. I hadn't been here in 20 years, so to be back. It's been fantastic, and everybody is so nice. They treat you so well, from all the staff here at Ascot, and working with our friend NBC, obviously, and our boy Nick Luck, who I'm looking at right now, which is about to go on the air in a little bit on NBC for later on. But anyway, it's all good. It's been great.
What bar are you guys hanging out at?
You know, none. I mean, I got to tell you, I'm exhausted at the end of the day. Literally, I eat and I pass out, and we start over again. So
you make time to eat.
Yeah, only one meal a day, and it's at dinner, and then that's it. So, but it's been great, and obviously, you know, with these having the challenge series here for the first time, has really been great. You know, a lot of coverage in England. And across the globe, really, for these races. And I think at home, people are, you know, when they're watching the coverage, it kind of ties it all together. And I noticed even a friend at ITV, who's the local broadcaster here in England, you know, there's a lot more chatter about Breeders' Cup. So it's everything we wanted it to be and more, I think.
Well, I can tell you, Pete, myself and my wife, Michelle, and I know Jude probably too, we have been glued to that NBC coverage throughout the week. And Nick and his team have done just a fantastic job presenting Royal Ascot to us back here in the States. And to be able to feel like we were there as part of it, watching that coverage, is pretty special. And to hear you describe it, it sounds exactly like what we were watching on television. Let's talk about these Breeders' Cup Challenge winners. Accidental Agent pulling off an upset in the Queen Anne on opening day. Poet's World winning the Prince of Wales. And then Shang 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 winning the Norfolk. Interesting stuff.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Accidental Agent at 30-1 was a huge upset. No one saw that one coming. Let's be honest. I don't think that one will make the trip over based on his nomination status. And, you know, if he could actually duplicate that effort again. But, you know, that was quite a race to kick everything off. It was the first race of the meet. And it was just wild. You know, the stretch runs down this straight is unbelievable. And then Poet's Word, who, you know, ran a huge, huge race I think, you know, he's definitely going to make it over. And, of course, Shang, 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 Wesley Ward. I mean, that was winning by the tightest of margins. That was with Joel Rosario right after the race. I was like, did you think you won it? And he's like, I don't know. I'm just riding out to the wire. I don't know. I had no idea. it's like difficult to figure out exactly where the wire is over here. But that was an amazing – I mean, so tight, you know. So it's been great.
It's one of those things where the track is so, the turf course is so wide. And, you know, what's cool is sometimes they're running on one side and the other. Sometimes there's three packs, horses running down the middle. And as you say, when they hit the wire, you know, there really is no wire. So it's like, wow, that's amazing. How do you separate those horses? But the photo was very close.
It was. But meanwhile, you know, they called it within, I would say, 60 seconds, we had the results. I mean, it was that quick that they put the results up. So they definitely have the right equipment at the finish line, I can tell you that.
Yeah, Pete, it's amazing, too, to watch the announcer, or I guess they maybe call him commentator there in England, to watch him call those races when, as Jude mentioned, the field splits. You have, you know, 10, 12 horses on the outside, and you have another 10 horses or so on the inside, and somehow they're able to put it all together and piece that together and call the race. It's spectacular.
I know. Our boy Larry Colmus, you know, I think it challenges him a bit. I mean, you know, he thinks it's tough to call in the fog there at the Preakness, or maybe in those that setup in Barbados. But I think this is the real deal with 30 horses. And, you know, and Coolmore and Godolphin, you know, they could have, between all of their partnerships and whatever, I mean, they can have 7 or 8 or 9 in a race. It's wild how they do it. Although, I got to admit, they do wear definitely different silks. So kind of got to be a little more helpful than wearing the same silk. But it's an experience. I mean, everyone's, I think, at some point, if you get yourself out here just to see it, it's worth the trip. And it's been great. And we're not done yet. I can't believe we got one more day to go.
Yesterday there was a race. The bulk of the field was on the near side. There was one horse running on the far side along the outside fence, and that had to be super challenging for the announcer because you kind of forgot about him up there at the top of the television screen.
No, you're right. I feel bad. You know, I'm like, when I watch that and I see that happen, I'm like, I feel bad for that jockey. I'm like, he's all by himself. I mean, what's going to happen here? Is he going to just, like, is it a good, is it a bad thing? I don't know, but he just looked so lonely and isolated. Like, you know, he's hoping for the best at that point.
Pete, how good was that performance by Alpha Centauri in the Coronation Stakes?
Oh man, I mean, everyone here was like electrified the crowd. I mean, and of course, everybody's talking about how loves that firm turf. I mean, it hasn't rained here. You know, the weather's been absolutely perfect, right? And I guess, you know, as you know, out here it could be usually not so perfect, but the turf is firm. You know, I mean, it hasn't rained not one drop in 6 days. And for that performance to happen, definitely, you know, the Chatterers, you know, definitely going to come over for the Breeders' Cup, no doubt, and which would be perfect, obviously. We'd love to come over there.
Talking to Pete Rotundo of the Breeders' Cup. He is live from Royal Ascot with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Pete, we're going to talk about the contenders here in the Diamond Jubilee coming up later this afternoon. But before we do, you started off mentioning that this is like going to the Kentucky Derby for 5 consecutive days, and every day is just a huge race day at Royal Ascot. I think we see that in some of the athletes and celebrities that have been in attendance at Ascot too. I read where Justin Rose, professional golfer, was there. He was joined by Lee Westwood, who was in attendance. They weren't there together. I think they were there on separate days, but that's all just part of what Royal Ascot is all about, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, with every day, you know, with the Queen showing up, and, you know, where I was, you know, I'm helping NBC out, helping Nick trying to get, you know, some interviews set up, and assist with the Americans or anyone else that I can identify. They send me out there to try to get them. But where our position is on the parade ring, literally the Queen got out of the carriage right in front of me every day. I was like, this is it's pretty amazing, right? Because it's just like, you know, it's just, you feel like you're in, it's like adult Disneyland, right? I mean, it's almost like you're in a movie every day, especially because of the way everybody's dressed, you know? I mean, it's a special place in the facility, state of the art, you know? And we're just, as from the Breeders' Cup point of view, obviously just proud to be partners with these guys. And of course, back to the celebrity, Russell Wilson was here with Ciara, and again Nick interviewed them on NBC, and they seem to have a great time. So it's been quite a week.
Have you been betting on what color the Queen wears every day?
You know, I've been thinking about it, and then I never got that bet in. But I am. I just tweeted out before I came on to promote the appearance here. I'm 0-4-24, I think. There's been 24 races, 6, 12, 8. Yeah, I'm 0-24. I've had about 6 second places, and I'm only betting to win. I won't bet each way, right? So I'm trying to get off the schneid today, I hope.
Why don't you just bet on Frankie Dettori every race?
You're right. I know. Meanwhile, I see him, and he's like so happy, smiling. So it's like, I think I'm overthinking it is what I'm doing.
Well, it's tough because there's always it's like the Breeders' Cup in that there's really nice horses at big prices.
Exactly.
And of course, I know you like to play for the downs. You're not interested in some 380 payoff. So it's very tempting to take a horse that has really good form that you like and who's hanging up there 10, 12, 14 to 1. And you can get caught over there. It's pretty tough.
There's been some long shots running second. A lot of second. Like yesterday, there's a horse named Ortiz. I think it was 66-1 ran second, followed by another 66-1 shot. If you could, the tote here, you get better. They call it exactas, which I guess in the old days, you used to call it forecast or whatever. But here through the tote pool, they call it, the tote, you could bet exactas and trifectas. And so I've been getting involved a little bit, but it's so hard. There's so many horses in every race.
Pete, is the betting process the same as it is here in the United States, where you walk up to a window with a teller and make your wager the same way you would at any racetrack here in the States?
You could definitely do that now. I mean, I remember 20 years ago you couldn't exactly do it that way, but here you definitely can walk right up. There's plenty of tellers. There's also machines. They look like the machines at Churchill, the tote machines. You could bet, pick your race and go from the end of track you want. And then, of course, they have the bookies all set up. I'm looking at it right now, and they're all lined up. Like one after the other. Keith Johnson, Olympic Racing, Roy Christie, Henry Michael, Star Sports, Badger Racing. And you could just, they all go down the line and you could just shop your price to bet to win,
Have you been doing some shopping?
No shopping. I put all my bets in at the beginning of the day. And then I'm working. So, I'm trying to be helpful. So I put it in, and then we stop and watch the race, see what happens.
He's 0-24. He needs to shop at a different store.
Yeah, I'm 0-24. But I had like 6 seconds, like photos. But you see how many times the photo finished. Yesterday, Sons of Molly, I believe is the name. She ran the Breeders' Cup in the juvenile turf last year. Flying at the end, just gets beat. I had a Kumo horse ran second. Yesterday, so many names I can't even pronounce half of them. But I mean, remove the door, it doesn't really matter, right? I mean, just the experience is just worth every penny, literally.
Pete Rotundo, Breeders' Cup. He's live from Royal Ascot here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Pete, before we let you go, tell us who you like in today's Diamond Jubilee, considering you're so hot at Royal Ascot.
Yeah, right. You can pick the right guy. Haven't spoke, the home team, Bound for Nowhere. Wesley Ward, obviously, he's got the number one. I'm told, he's been real confident all week. Obviously, only had the one win. He's got a couple today. I think this is the one that should put on a show today. So I'm definitely, got to root for the home team anyway. So we're going to do that. And I'll give you one other race. And then again, there's finally a race that's only 5 horses, so I feel like I'm at home. There's in the second race here, the 305, right? You remember Idaho?
Yeah.
Idaho ran at Saratoga, was rank as could be, all washed out, and ran, I think, like second to last or last. So Kumar, has that one. Kumar also is wheeling back on a couple of days rest, ran earlier in the week, is Cliffs of Moher, the 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then, everybody's thinking this Crystal Ocean is the horse. I have a feeling this Idaho is ready to roll. I mean, he's a runner with better horses, better field. Last year won this exact race. Now everyone is, dismissing him. I'm looking for a little comeback from Idaho in the 305 today.
There you go. Now you're noted for your fashion sense. You always look sharp everywhere you go. 5 straight days of morning wear and top hats. What do you do to change it up? Because I know you're not wearing the same thing over and over again.
But you know what? You'll be shocked. I am actually wearing the same suit. I realized I literally didn't need to bring any clothes here. I bought the suit Monday. I've worn it every day. I've changed the shirt and the tie every day, and that's it. I feel way more comfortable now in a top hat than I do anything else. You know, it covers half my huge forehead, so I feel like it's a good look for me. I think I might actually, that could be the new shtick. I might bring the top hat back home with me.
There you go. Wear the top hat at Breeders' Cup at Churchill. That'll make you stand out.
Exactly. But anyway, it's all good. And, you know, I'm excited to get home. It's been a long run, but we've had a great time. And Breeders' Cup Challenge, obviously, today. And then we keep going. Every weekend, I feels like until we get to mid October. So it's all, the action really is just started. So.
Yeah, the beat goes on. He's Pete Rotundo, Breeders' Cup. He is live from Royal Ascot. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, Pete is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Pete, appreciate the visit, my friend. We'll let you go enjoy the rest of the day. Safe travels home, and we'll look forward to catching up again soon. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, Pete Rotundo.
Embrace the Race needs top hats.
Ooh. Could you see that? An Embrace the Race top hat at Royal Ascot.
Yeah, like something lavender, like Tom Petty might wear. I don't know. It would be cool.
Yeah, it might work. Great question, too, about the attire that Pete might be sporting over there. I was shocked to hear him say he's gone with the same suit every day.
Well,
that's very un-Pete Rotundo-like.
It really is, you know. He doesn't like matchy-matchy and that kind of stuff. He's a very fashion-forward guy, but...
Kind of like me.
Yeah, yeah. you are Steelers black and gold, dude. You just... I was looking at
That's
the picture of us winning the Eclipse Award the other day. It's right above my printer, and I'm sitting there waiting for some PPs to print out, and I'm looking up, and I go, which one is Mike Pena? Oh, it'd be the guy in the black and gold tux over there. That would be him.
No, in fairness to us, those are HRN colors.
Well, that's their HRN colors are because they're the steel colors. Wait a minute. Don't put the cart before the horse.
Correct.
All right. Yes.
I have issues.
Black and gold.
I have issues. Black and gold.
You'd have to have a Steelers top hat. You'd have to have a top hat with the Steeler emblem right in the middle of it.
Don't give me any ideas. That may play well.
I saw a guy at a Cubs game with a Cubs fez, and I have been looking for a Cubs fez ever since.
What's a fez?
A fez is like a Moroccan hat. It's almost like a stovepipe kind of. It's like a top hat like Shriners wear. Yeah, it's like
okay.
It's like a top hat without the bill. You know, it's just the hat. Sydney Greenstreet wore one in Casablanca. That's who I'd look like, Sydney Greenstreet. Not a great look.
By the way, did the Cubs win that game the other night?
No.
The
Cubs got beat last night, too. The Reds are beating up on them, which is not really surprising. I mean, the Reds are actually better than their record. They have some guys that can play, and their pitching's starting to come around now, too. But it's been tough on Cubs fans.
All right. Well, we're going to get to our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, which is brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. And if you haven't been to the Lexus Store, well, you're really missing out because they are horse people and they are committed to being the dealership of the equine industry throughout Central Kentucky. And I've been telling you this for more than a decade on this program, and they have sold so many vehicles to people in the horse business because that's what they do. They are horse people at the Lexus store. So you go in and you see my good friend, the Godfather, Tony Attiano. You'll talk to him about horses for a while. And at some point, you'll get to talking about the vehicles. But talk to him about some horses. Enjoy your time over there at the Lexus store. You can shop in their Keeneland shop, which is just like you're at Keeneland Racecourse. And they are the sponsors of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall. So they are all in and committed to being part of this business. Make sure you go visit them. It's the Lexus Store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty right here in Lexington, Kentucky. You won't be disappointed. I promise you that. We're back with more here on the Equine Forum right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
When the subject of thoroughbred of this dissertation died September 26, 1945, he left a legacy that stirred more genuine affection in the hearts of sports fans than any other the American turf had ever known. Old Bones, as he later came to be nicknamed, was a lanky foal bred by F.D. Knight and earned universal acclaim on the racetrack in the colors of Willis Sharp Kilmer. As a thoroughbred, he came from nowhere, as the saying goes. His pedigree, My McGee, Out of Fair Empress by Jim Gore, screamed aloud that he was strictly from the wrong side of thoroughbred racing's breeding track, so to speak. Somebody early on in his life had the presence and foresight to give him a name that fit him like a rubber glove and said it all about his talent on the racetrack as well. Exterminator. He started 100 times in his illustrious career, 150 being out of the money only 15 times. He had an interesting propensity to return to the winner's circle standing in a rather homely, ho-hum, nonchalant way. He carried the highest weight handicappers could dream up and did so with pride and with distinction. His composite earnings were astounding for the times, over $250,000. The most he ever earned for a win was $14,700 for his 1918 score in the Kentucky Derby. At that, he got to the Derby accidentally, and that story is well worth retelling. Racing for Carl Milam as a two-year-old after being purchased from his breeder for $1,500 as a yearling, he won four times, but showed little, if anything, by way of class. The next spring, Willis Sharp Kilmer had the sensational colt Sunbriar eligible for the classic run for the Roses, but Sunbriar did not train properly coming up to the race. Shortly before the Derby, Kilmer bought Exterminator from Milam for $9,000 just for the sake of having his silks appear among the starters in the Derby, and the rest is historically chronicled. On a sloppy racetrack, the 30-1 game-gelding nickname Old Bones, Exterminator, splashed his way to a victory at his very first important stakes event. After that, he won every kind of race that racing secretaries could conceive. Oh, yes, he was beaten often, but not one time for lack of effort. They piled weight on him that would make a mule driver apologize to a mountain burro and send them on out to take their best at their favorite distance. Exterminator never gave a poor effort. He was the unequivocal thoroughbred idol of racing patrons everywhere, his name a household word. He ran under the tutelage of seven different trainers and made everybody famous that was ever connected with him. As gutsy and courageous a performer as ever set foot on the American racetrack, he was game to the core, even to his last race when he broke down and yet hung on determinedly to finish third. In the early morning hours of September 26, 1945, he met the Grim Reaper in a stall at Sunbriar Court in Binghamton, New York, at the age of 30. An inconspicuous stone marker stands there today above his head on a simple grave overlooking the Susquehanna River alongside his one-time stablemate, Sunbriar. Inconspicuous as it may be, that stone does reflect in its very pristinity that the American turf is a far, far greater and far, far richer institution for Old Bones having passed by. Exterminator.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Do you know how fast you were going, son?
Call me Ed.
Do you know how fast you were going, Ed?
You mean exactly?
Yes, exactly.
No, not exactly. How fast?
Fast.
Faster?
You were going very fast.
Fast is my job, officer.
Fast is your job?
Yes, sir.
What kind of job?
I deliver, sir.
What do you deliver?
The world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
I thought Jimmy John's had the world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
Jimmy John's does have the world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
So you deliver for Jimmy John's?
I deliver for Jimmy John's.
So do you always deliver fast?
I always deliver fast.
How fast?
I deliver subs so fast you'll freak.
It's not smart to freak a cop, son.
You didn't order Jimmy John's sub, sir.
So if I did order a Jimmy John's sub, when would I get it?
Now.
What if I don't want it now?
Then call later.
Or I can pick it up myself.
Or you can pick it up yourself.
Because I'm pretty fast too.
I'm sure you are, sir.
Very fast.
I believe you, sir.
Faster than you.
No way, sir.
Way faster.
In your dreams.
You dissing me, son.
No, sir, I'm polite.
Fast and polite.
Very polite and very, very fast.
Is that a challenge, son?
No, sir, it's a fact.
Let's burn rubber, kid.
It wouldn't be fair.
Why not?
You've got a fully blown V8 Camaro with slicks and headers.
So?
I've got a 10-speed bike.
I'll let you off with a warning.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet.
Adina Spring Stallion, point of entry.
Point of entry scores to win the Man of War by four lengths.
A five-time Grade 1 winner, viewed by many to be the heir to Dynaformer's global legacy.
Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer, and here comes point of entry, who's running to daylight.
The first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined nine lengths.
And they're coming down to the finish, and point of entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a five-race winning streak.
Point of entry hails from a remarkable female family, with his first four dams Grade 1 winners and or producers. Now with winners in six countries on all surfaces from 5.5 to 10 furlongs, including the sensational multiple graded stakes winner, Analyze It. And his second crop is off and running, with several promising juvenile winners already in 2018. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry, standing at Adina Springs.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
As they come over to the quarter pole, and it becomes a test of courage in the final quarter mile. And here comes Lexi Lou, and We Miss Artie is closing on the outside. Lexi Lou, asserting bear. We Miss Artie, diving inside, is Amise Holiday. And Lexi Lou has taken the lead. They are in the last 16th of a mile. The filly was fabulous this afternoon. Lexi Lou wins the 155th running of the Queen's Plate. Amise Holiday was second, and Asserting Bear was third.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, coming to you from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios. That was Dan Loisel with the call of the 2014 Queen's Plate. Lexi Lou, the filly, beating the boys, giving trainer Mark Cassie his first victory in the Queen's Plate, believe it or not. Yeah, he's like a 10-time Sovereign Award winner as Canada's leading trainer, but that is one race that eluded him until 2014 when Lexi Lou was able to break through. Next Saturday, we will head northward to Canada for the Queen's Plate. You're going to hear that historic race right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The 159th running comes your way 4 to 6 Eastern time next Saturday afternoon. Make sure you're locked in. I'll be joined by retired jockey Jerry Olguin, who has won more than 2,000 races in his career. Actually, exactly 2,000. He retired as soon as he hit 2,000 last year. He said, that's it. I'm done. I hit my goal. And now he is working with some of the trainers that are up at Woodbine, galloping horses for them. He's going to be part of my broadcast team with me next week, 4 to 6 Eastern. And Acacia Courtney going to be with us as well. She'll be trackside with all the reports and interviews throughout the afternoon. So don't miss it. Should be a tremendous show. And Mark Cassie, going to have three horses in this year's Queen's Plate. Most likely the favorite in Telekinesis, who has been pretty good throughout much of his career. And looking forward to seeing Mark back in action with those three horses next week.
Yeah, Telekinesis, he's a cool horse. He's got a lot of ability, and I don't think they've really gotten to the bottom of him yet. Very intriguing animal. We were down at the Pegasus World Cup in Florida at Gulfstream Park earlier this year. So I'm up early and I'm pulling up some past performances and at the computers in the little office area at the hotel. And there's a guy sitting next to me, and I could see he's reading the charts of the races and stuff. And he can see that I'm pulling up past performances. I'm printing things out and oh, you know, you like the races? And I said, oh, yeah, you know, told him what we do. And he says, well, he says, you know, I got to tell you about this horse. He's going to be running at Fairgrounds. He's maybe one of the nicest horses I've ever seen. You know, he's beautiful and he's got a ton of ability and the barn's high on him. And his name's Telekinesis.
Wow.
Okay. So where is he? Oh, he's at Fairgrounds. So I make a little note in my phone, Telekinesis, Fairgrounds. And so I'm following the horse. I put him in my stable mail. I'm following his works and stuff. And, you know, the horse starts running and he ended up breaking his maiden and looked sharp doing it. And he's just kind of gone up the ladder, very steadily gone up the ladder. But who knew you'd find out about a Queen's Plate horse sitting at the hotel in Florida that's at Fairgrounds in New Orleans. I mean, this business amazes you sometimes. So, yeah, Telekinesis, he's probably going to be pretty tough in there.
Yeah, Mark was loaded this year with his Canadian-bred three-year-olds. He has one running in the Ohio Derby today, who was one of the favorites in Flame Away, who, as we know, ran in the Kentucky Derby. He was on the Derby trail all year. And Mark was originally pointing Flame Away for next weekend's Queen's Plate and then decided to call an audible here kind of at the last minute and go to the Ohio Derby instead. And he brought up a valid point. He said, you know, when we train this horse over the tapeta surface, which is, of course, what Woodbine has, that's what the Queen's Plate is run over, is that artificial tapeta racing surface. He said he was just kind of just a horse, you know, and when we got him on dirt, he became an even better horse. So they want to try and keep races like the Haskell and the Travers in play here in the States later this summer. So they thought the Ohio Derby was a better spot. But he did say there's a high likelihood that we could see Flame Away in the second leg of the Canadian Triple Crown. The Queen's Plate's the first leg. Then they go to Fort Erie for the Prince of Wales. And that's on the dirt. So he said there's a chance, a better than average chance, we could see Flame Away go in the second leg of the Canadian Triple Crown.
Yeah, that'd be nice spacing and everything. Yeah. It makes perfect sense. And Flame Away, he's, you know, very talented horse and game as they come and versatile. He runs on any surface. But that's interesting to know that Mark thinks he's better on the dirt than anything else.
He has a filly entered or will enter a filly when they take entries on Wednesday and do the post draw for the Queen's Plate. He has Wonder Godot, who fans here in the United States are very familiar with. She's competed in the Breeders' Cup. She's been in the Kentucky Oaks. She's been through the ringer and faced a lot of the top fillies that we have in the sport here over the past couple of years. And now she's going to tackle the boys. And as you heard at the beginning of this segment, Mark's only win in the Queen's Plate in 2014 came with the filly Lexi Lou. So it would be no surprise if Wonder Godot runs a big race. And his comments on Wonder Godot earlier this week were interesting. He said she's a filly that has kind of gotten in that habit of you know, getting right there in contention and then kind of just hanging in and not really going past horses. So they're working with her now, trying to find a way to get her to accelerate past horses and put horses away when she gets in contention in the stretch.
Yeah, it's easy. You just work her with a slow horse.
Yeah, work her with a horse that she's faster than, right?
Yeah, that's all you need to do. Very, very simple. Mark should have called me. I could have given him some advice.
Unfortunately, she's not going to be in with slow horses in the Queen's Plate.
Yeah, probably not. What did he say about Telekinesis?
Just that the horses come along beautifully and, you know, the usual shtick.
Yeah.
It was an article that I read. I didn't get a chance to talk to him about the horses. Okay. I was reading an article in one of the Canadian papers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of reading for you. Canadian papers. You're branching out.
Yeah. Hey. Well, we'll be there next week, 4 to 6 Eastern with the coverage. By the way, Mark Cassie was going to try to join us in this segment right now and was unable to make it for good reason. You know, we often talk about and coming on the heels of the announcement we made in the beginning of the show with the passing of Corey Lannery's wife, Chantel, we often talk about how, look, horse racing is a sport. It's what we do for a profession, but there are more important things in life when it comes to, you know, your family and things like that. And Mark is attending his son's baseball game in Ocala this morning. I talked to him yesterday. I said, hey, would you join us on the show? And he said, well, I can't let you know until late Friday night. And then I didn't hear from him. And for good reason. His son was playing at 7:30 last night. They're in the district baseball tournament in Ocala, Florida. They played at 7:30, and they got beat in extra innings. They lost in 10 innings last night, but he said his son did tremendously well. They brought him in to pitch with the bases loaded and nobody out in that game, and he got the three batters out, 1-2-3, didn't allow a run, and then they brought in the closer in the next inning, and unfortunately, as Mark told me this morning when I talked to him on the phone, he said, this is our best pitcher. They never hit this kid all season long. He said they hit him last night. So they got beaten 10 innings. They're in the loser's bracket now. So they're playing. As a matter of fact, they're getting ready to start right now as we speak. And so Mark was unable to join us. But we'll talk to him next week as we edge closer to Queens Plate.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, it's exciting for a dad to be able to go out there and watch their son play. There was a pitcher last night for the Reds, and I wish I could remember his name, but he made his major league debut, and his parents were there, and he struck out the batter that he faced, and you know, you could just tell the look on his dad's face. He was like, "Wow, this is amazing," you know. And he strikes out one guy and walks back to the dugout. Pretty cool. So those moments you don't want to pass those up.
You think I'll be able to get an interview with Ken Ramsey next week for Queens Plate?
I think there's an outside chance if you ask nicely. You have to ask him nicely.
How about his horse last week in the Stephen Foster, sent off as the heavy favorite and just had absolutely no response in the stretch?
I mean, I have to chalk it up to maybe the heat or something.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it's possible that the horse bled because he turned for home. He looked like he was going to run away from the field. And then all of a sudden there was no response. It was a very bizarre situation, and you know, everybody was super high on that horse going in. Chad Brown was high on the horse, and Mr. Ramsey, of course. And I mean, he just did not run a representative race. So I'm gonna redline it, and for the next time he runs, I'm just gonna chalk it up to the miserable conditions that night. As far as the heat was concerned,
we know Irish War Cry didn't like it,
right?
We know.
I mean,
Graham joined us on this show last Saturday morning to talk about Irish War Cry, and he talked about the condition that he experiences known as the thumps, which is kind of a electrolyte imbalance. And he said when it gets really, really hot out, he just doesn't seem to run his race and doesn't respond well. Well, we saw that. That was the case last Saturday night.
Yeah, well, I texted Graham on the way home, and he got back to me, which was very gracious of him. But I just wanted to make sure that there wasn't anything more serious with the horse. And he said, you know, in retrospect, maybe he shouldn't have run him, but we were all expecting it to cool off, and it just seemed like it got hotter. I mean,
yep.
when I was leaving Churchill Downs, I walked about a quarter of a mile from the suite we were in to the Derby Museum where I was being picked up, and it was just blisteringly hot. I was sweating like a pig.
Yeah.
And I walked a quarter of a mile. I mean, that's ridiculous. So that's how hot it was. It was well into the 90s at 10:30 at night. And it just, there was no relief. So I'm assuming that Backyard Heaven had a similar situation, not maybe the thumps, but you know, maybe couldn't bear the heat. Sometimes when it gets so hot, it's hard to breathe. You know, the air is like super heavy, and I don't know. It was just a unbelievable circumstance that caused that heat wave.
And as we know, Pavel had no problem with the heat. He won the Stephen Foster. He punches his ticket to the Breeders' Cup Classic. We're going to be joined later in the program, right around 9:40 Eastern time, by Pavel's trainer, Doug O'Neill. He'll look back on that effort. He'll talk about today's San Carlos Stakes at Santa Anita as well. Also going to be joined by Ron Nicoletti, right around 9:20 Eastern time. Ron's, of course, the man you see on TV quite often at Gulfstream Park. He's a tremendous handicapper. Ron will talk to us about the summer meet and some of the highlights that we've seen over the past, 6 or 7 weeks. And he'll also look ahead to next weekend's Summit of Speed and the win in your In Princess Rooney Stakes for the Breeders' Cup. That's always an exciting afternoon of thoroughbred racing. And we'll get a chance to catch up with Ronnie later on in the second half of the show. One other note about last weekend, Jude, and Churchill Downs. How about a shout out and a congratulations to our good friend, Ignacio Correas, who saddled Blue Prize, the Argentinian bred, the winner of the Florida Lee. She is on her way to the Longines Distaff in the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, she ran a tremendous race in the Fleur-de-Lis and really looked good. I mean, I think Jose Ortiz has made a big difference with this filly, and I think Ignacio believes that too. He's really got her number, and it was a overpowering race that she ran that night. Very nice filly by Pure Prize out of a not for sale mare. That's classic Argentinian breeding on the bottom side, and the sky's the limit for her. She's just getting better with age, and really came into her own in the Fleur-de-Lis.
He's Jude Feld. I'm Mike Penna. You're listening to the Equine Forum on HRRN. We'll get to a quick break, and we'll come right back with more. This is your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Power.
Tapazar's going to keep Rail Trip at bay, and Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
Monomoy Girl, the Kentucky Oaks winner, has taken charge here, and she's pulling away in the acorn.
Performance.
And on the inside, Monomoy Girl, it's down to these two, and it's going to be Monomoy Girl in the Kentucky Oaks.
Gainsway Stallion Tapazar is Tappet's leading miler, breaking his maiden by 10.5 lengths as a 2-year-old, wiring the Grade 3 Sham Stakes by 4.5 lengths at 3, and running away with the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. A top 5 third crop sire, now with more than $5 million in progeny earnings, including Monomoy Girl, a game winner of the Grade 1 $1 million Kentucky Oaks at Churchill Downs. Tapazar, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
As a partner in a thoroughbred, the horse is yours every day, not just race day. Bergen Stables understands. When you join their New York bred partnerships, you not only get the thrill of competition, but you get quality time with your horse and a meaningful voice in decision making. To get involved, visit BergenStables.com. Any partnership can put you close to the action. Bergen Stables brings you close to the horse.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Hi, this is Doug O'Neill. My favorite radio show is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You know, you heard that commercial for Joe Brown Nicholson and his Nicholson Insurance Agency here in Lexington in that last commercial break, and it made me think that we're looking at the yearling sales season getting ready to kick off pretty soon. Fasig Tipton will do that in July here in Lexington when they host their selected yearling sale, which takes place on July 10th at 10 a.m. It's preceded by the Horses of Racing Age sale on July 9th, and so many people going to be looking to insure those horses that they purchase at the sale. There is nobody better to talk to than my friend Joe Brown Nicholson at Nicholson Insurance Agency. So give him a call and tell him that the Baron told you to give him a call, because he was tremendous. And every time these yearling sales roll around, it makes me think of Joe and how he can help you with all your insurance needs. So make sure you give him a shout. Should be exciting, Jude. We see the July sale, then we roll right into Saratoga, then we're into the Keeneland sales. And the beat goes on. Once we get into this part of the schedule for the consigners and for the buyers, it's kind of a whirlwind. You're just in the sales scene right through, basically through January at Keeneland.
Yeah, it's a great time of year. Love the Saratoga sale. It's always a great couple of nights to go out and, you know, watch these beautiful, expensive yearlings sell and see who gets them and think about, you know, what's going to happen at Saratoga the following year. You're already into Saratoga for the current year, but you're looking ahead to the next year, and it's a good way to keep your interest in racing year-round.
Told you in the last segment that we are going to be heading to Woodbine next Saturday. This show will be hosted live from Woodbine Racetrack in Canada, and we'll bring you coverage of the 159th running of the Queen's Plate next Saturday afternoon from 4 to 6 Eastern. Don't forget that this year marks a highly anticipated season for Woodbine. As a matter of fact, not only is the highlight of the meet that Queen's Plate next Saturday, but that is followed by the Rico Woodbine Mile on September 15th, and then the Pattison Canadian International on October 13th. And Woodbine making a lot of noise with some of the quality racing and the stakes-laden schedule, and then the arsenal of wagers that they offer, bigger and better guaranteed pools, and so, so much more. If you want to learn more, all you have to do is visit their website. That's at woodbine.com, and follow them on Twitter, at WoodbineTB, and check it all out. You can also follow hashtag BetWoodbineTB to get an update on all the different wagers that they're going to offer. But should be a great day next Saturday. We can't wait to return to Woodbine and bring you that coverage here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All right, busy second half of the program. It features Ron Nicoletti from Gulfstream Park and trainer Doug O'Neill. We're back with that second half of the program right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside tenfold. Bravazo, Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
Audible by three. Hoffberg can't get him. Mississippi is third. Five Florida Derbies for Todd Pletcher. Audible, no doubt about it. He won it by 2.5.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Good Magic has been defeated, then Machismo. Less than a 16th to go. The leader is still Promises Fulfilled, and Promises Fulfilled will spring the upset to win the Fountain of Youth under Irad Ortiz Jr.
Baldoro is forging clear. This is a high-caliber colt. We're witnessing the emergence of a star as Baldoro treats his rivals to a comprehensive walloping in the front runner.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum rolling on this Saturday morning, the 23rd day of June 2018, which means that we are just 132 days, now 3 hours and 22 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Churchill Downs. We will be there as your exclusive radio home of the Breeders' Cup. The only place you'll hear the Breeders' Cup on radio is with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Can't wait to get over to Churchill and bring you that coverage and bring you coverage of all the Breeders' Cup Challenge action as we make our way closer to those days in November. Make sure you visit our website, horseracingradio.net, to check out our complete broadcast schedule, listing of affiliates, and SiriusXM channel information. And of course, while you're there, you can listen to podcasts of all of our programming, including Jock Talk, Trainer Talk, our call-in show, and the Weekend Stakes Preview Show. Those available for you every single week at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on social media, at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Busy first half of the show, really, JT, for not having a lot of guests lined up necessarily. Pete Rotundo joining us from Royal Ascot. That was kind of a cool segment. If you missed it, you can check out the podcast of this show after 10 a.m. Head to our website and listen to what Pete had to say about today's Diamond Jubilee Stakes and even a couple of other horses to keep an eye on at Ascot later this afternoon.
Yeah, just don't listen to his tips. He's cold as ice.
0 for 24. I'm sure he appreciates us bringing that up again.
Well, he brought it up. He didn't have to bring it up.
What's he change his hashtag to when he's in a slump? Because usually it's get hot, stay hot.
Right. Get hot, stay hot. But
get hot, stay hot.
Now
knock.
It's just get hot, get hot, get hot.
please get hot.
Yeah. Send money.
Hashtag just one winner.
Yeah.
Send money.
Hope he doesn't have to sell his top hat to get home.
His one suit.
I'm down to one suit.
Unbelievable. Well, there is that Diamond Jubilee Stakes at Ascot today. It is a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint Division, and it is one of four challenge races contested at Royal Ascot this meet. The other three already in the books, as we know, and now looking forward to that fourth and final one here on closing day of Royal Ascot. Should be a special afternoon of thoroughbred racing, and again, if you missed that interview with Pete, head back over to our website and check it out. Here in the States, a bit of a quieter day on the racing front. And I say that because we came through the Triple Crown season, then we jumped right into the Stephen Foster program last week. Well, it's a little quieter, but you still have a really good race in Ohio today, which is the Ohio Derby. And a race that features, as we told you earlier, Flameway from the barn of Mark Cassie. He is one of the favorites in there, but there are some others, Jude, that we should really keep an eye on.
Yeah, it's a good event. We did the weekend stakes preview, which is available for listening on the website, horseracingradio.net. We did 10 races from 10 different racetracks, and I believe that's the first time that's ever happened. So there's stakes all over the country.
I caught part of that show last night, by the way, as I was driving to dinner. Yeah, I was glued to it with listening to you and Anthony and some of your picks in those races. I thought it was very, very interesting.
Well,
take on some of those races.
I'm glad you thought so. Yeah, Anthony had some good information. And the Ohio Derby is a grade three, $500,000 race. So it's an important race. It's been an important race for many, many years. And Flame Away looks very tough in the race. Mark Cassie, pointing for this race rather recently, but Flameway's had some excellent workouts, a 59-3 at Churchill June the 8th, and then followed that up with a 48-flat blowout. It's typical Mark Cassie, kind of a sharp workout and then an easy one right before the horse runs. The two worst races he's ever run were at Churchill Downs. He finished 6th in the Iroquois as a 2-year-old, and then he finished 13th in the Kentucky Derby. So he may not be a horse that particularly likes Churchill Downs, or maybe those races were too tough or just didn't fit into his schedule nicely. But other than that, he's very consistent. He's run 10 times. He has 5 wins and 2 seconds. So if you take those races away, his record is as clean as it can get. And he's won on the Tapeda at Woodbine. He's won in the mud at Saratoga. He won on the turf at Gulfstream Park. He won the Kitten's Joy Stakes on the grass. So he's a horse that is relatively versatile. A son of Scat Daddy. Who wouldn't want one of those?
Yeah.
Very, very nice horse. Very game. Tries all the time. I mean, he just puts his head down and runs. Tom Amos has Lone Sailor in the race. He's the 3-1 second choice. Arad Ortiz is heading to Cleveland to ride him.
You think he's glad to get away from Justify?
Yeah, well, he's he's probably happy to get away from Justify, but not thrilled to be in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Anyway, is anybody thrilled to be in Cleveland?
Sorry, Cleveland.
Yeah. Lone Sailor, he's a horse that is eligible to non-winners of 2. He's had some big second place finishes. He was 2nd in the Louisiana Derby. He's a late runner. He's going to need some pace up front, but certainly has the figures and in the class to be important in this race. Diamond King is in there. He won the Federico Tessio at Laurel April 21st. Then he came back in the Preakness. Didn't seem to really relish the going that day. Of course, who did?
Yeah, this is a much better spot for him.
Much better spot for him. He's got tactical speed. He can get the distance. The Tessio was at the mile and an eighth distance. He's certainly got a better than a puncher's chance in there. The 10 Core Beliefs is an interesting horse as well. This is a horse that ran second to Blended Citizen in the Peter Pan in his last start. That was a mile and an eighth race. He ran third behind Justify and Bolt Doro in the Santa Anita Derby. And when you look at that race, you go, well, somebody had to be third. You know, it wasn't the greatest field. There was only seven horses in the race. Justify won off, you know. Bolt Doro was all out to be second. But then he came to the Peter Pan. He went off as the favorite. He ran a terrific race. He was in front by 2.5 in the stretch. He's still learning how to run. He's got abilities by Quality Road. Certainly has a look at the race, especially if he moves forward off of the Peter Pan. And, yeah, there's some things to like about Core Beliefs. Joe Talamo flying out from California to pilot him. So it's a very interesting race. There's several ways to go, and pretty representative of the current three-year-olds and horses that were on the Derby trail or Derby hopefuls that either didn't run well in the Derby or didn't quite make the Derby. So it's worth watching. Post time 5:10 at Thistledown. It goes as the ninth race.
You know, as I look at this field, Ohio Derby, mile and an eighth, main track. But when you look at this field, it made me think about let's take this question. If Justify continues the race this year, and we still haven't heard definitively, right, if he's going to continue or be retired, I would assume he'd probably go to like the Haskell or something.
Yeah,
right?
You would think. I mean, Baffert basically owns the Haskell, so you would think that would be the next stop on the tour. And then I don't know about the Travers. Baffert doesn't own the Travers, but they may want to run him in there anyway.
Dale Roman's waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
Just sitting there lurking, waiting for Baffert to show up again.
The Travers 12-horse field, 11 trained by Dale Romans, 1 trained by Bob Baffert.
But if Justify continues to race this year, who's the most likely three-year-old to knock him off of his perch and beat him for the first time? Who would be the most likely one? Well, is it Bravazo? Does he come back? I mean, after that big effort at Pimlico, is it Bolt Doro? Do we see him come back to form? And who's the most likely one?
I would say Audible. I don't know what Audible's up to, but if Audible runs, I would think he might be the best.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he certainly ran the two best preps for the Derby. His races in Florida were excellent. He's got a lot of talent, that horse. So if his Tootsie's heal up and he's in training and doing well, I would think he would be a horse.
Yeah.
That
Good Magic.
Good Magic is another one.
Yeah.
Good Magic, you know, he's had some time off, and has he been training? I haven't seen any works on him, but that doesn't mean he hasn't worked. But,
right.
Yeah, I mean, there's some nice horses hanging around, but I don't know. I would have a feeling that if they do choose the Haskell, it's going to be a short field. It won't be a massive amount of horses.
Yeah, I almost would have thought if Axeman didn't lay an egg last week at Churchill Downs.
And there was another.
I would have thought that he may have been one of the ones we'd be talking about in this discussion, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's the thing about Axeman, he's not one of Baffert's, you know, top three-year-olds, so that makes you wonder right there.
How about McKenzie?
Well, McKenzie.
He's back in training, right?
Yeah. But are they going to, you know, run him a mile and a quarter off a layoff or a mile?
No. I'm not saying challenge him immediately, but at some point, like if you were looking for a three-year-old to beat Justify, who's the most likely one?
Certainly. Yeah. I mean, McKenzie would have to be in that conversation.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I was looking at Good Magic. You had asked me about his workouts, and yeah, he is working. He worked June 10th at Belmont, came back June 16th with a second workout, both of those 4 furlongs. So he is back working again.
Back on the trail. So
yep.
I don't know what Chad's got in mind for him, but I mean, I don't think there's going to be people that are going to be going out of their way to run against Justify.
The one horse throughout this entire Triple Crown that I think I was most disappointed in that didn't put more pressure on Justify that I thought could definitely challenge him was Vino Rosso.
Yeah,
I really felt like he was one of the ones, right? When you looked at this division, and it's, let's face it, this is regarded as a really strong three-year-old division this year. I thought Vino Rosso was right up there. Not justify caliber necessarily, but pretty close. Not far behind.
Well, you'd have to think that, especially in the Belmont, that he had a pretty good chance.
Yeah.
He was coming in fresh.
Yeah, bad trip in the Derby.
Right. Todd Pletcher's, you know, so good at training horses to go a mile and a half. And it just looked like a really – he had a great drive. He was outside allowing his jockey to place him at will. There were so many things to like about him going into the Belmont Stakes. And then, you know, he laid a major egg, as far as I'm concerned, finishing fourth, I think, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't even finish in the money. I don't know. He might be tired, you know?
Yeah.
Triple Crown Trail is tough. And he ran a lot of races early on, and he might have just been a little over the top. Who knows? But
yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. Right now, it doesn't appear like there's anybody out there that even can hold a candle to justify.
Yeah. No, I mean, not currently.
And not just because he won the Triple Crown, but I mean, it doesn't seem like there's a horse that's ready to move into that echelon yet, into that league.
Yeah.
Let's face it, Justify set the bar so high right now, and there's nobody that appears that they're in that same league right now.
You need somebody that has a lot of speed and can carry it. That's a revelation, right? Isn't that what everybody wants? If you have that, then you have a pretty good horse. And
oh, that's all there is to it?
That's all there is to it. I mean, it's pretty straightforward, actually. But, you know, there's really
train
nobody.
Train him with a slower horse.
Yeah. There's nobody that can. Well, you know, we make such a big deal out of a lot of stuff in racing. You know, it's always the bottom line is the fastest horse usually wins, right? And sometimes, you know, we find all these reasons. Oh, this
It's like Rotundo said about Royal Ascot. He said, I think I'm just overthinking it.
Yeah.
And you can do that very easily in this sport.
Yeah. And it's so easily done when you're thinking about, like, a life-changing result or making a big score so you can go on vacation or do something like that. So you're automatically setting yourself up for failure because you're not looking at the race as a race. You're looking at it as a
money-making opportunity. Yeah.
And so you're gravitating to horses that are going to make that pick four payoff huge or the pick three, you know, you can crush or whatever.
Yeah. I think you start convincing yourself that there's something there that's really not there.
Right. And that's one of the reasons that I think you really have to be dispassionate when you handicap. And I like to have PPs without the morning line. I don't want to, you know, gravitate to some horse because somebody made him, you know, 10, 12 to 1 on the morning line. I want to look at the race just as a race and see where it is. How much time do we have?
We're about up against the break.
Are we? Okay.
Yep. Did you have another hot one?
Well, Anthony had a hot one. And it's in the Mystic Lake Derby at Canterbury Park, a horse named Sniper Kitten that Anthony's very high on. And I thought I'd mention it because I thought it was good information. It's a Kitten's Joy, owned by Mr. Ramsey, trained by Mike Maker. And this horse ran a tremendous race at Keeneland on April 27th, an allowance race. It was his second win in a row. And Anthony talked to Joel Rosario after the race, and Joel was super impressed with this horse. Now, he's not riding him in this race. Tyler Gaffalione is, but Tyler and Maker have done quite well together. So he's a horse. He's 10 to 1 on the morning line, and he's a horse that you might want to pay attention to or bet a few bucks on at Canterbury Park if you're up that late. It's the fifth race at Canterbury. Post time is 9:18 this evening. So keep an eye on him, number 10, Sniper Kitten.
All right, we'll encourage you to head over to our website, horseracingradio.net, to check out the podcast of yesterday's Naira Betts Weekend Stakes Preview, where Jude and Anthony walked through so many big races around the country and shared their analysis and their insight. Head over there now. It's the Naira Betts Weekend Stakes Preview at horseracingradio.net. All right, time now for your Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. Well, our good friend Roger Atfield is at it again. He has his eye on a Singspiel sweep. Yeah, that's right. Trainer Roger Atfield has sent out the winners of 7 of 13 runnings of the Singspiel Stakes. That's a grade 3 up at Woodbine, including the 1-2 finishers on 2 different occasions. Atfield has another double-barreled threat in the $125,000 feature later this afternoon as Danish Dynaformer and Final Copy will go postward in a field of 8 for the mile and a half turf race at Woodbine. And that's your news update brought to you by BloodHorse.com. And you can pre-order your Justify commemorative Triple Crown Collector's Issue, and you can do that today. Bloodhorse will be publishing a 248-page full-color publication which chronicles Justify, his connections, and his journey to become the 13th Triple Crown winner. There are also stories and dozens of spectacular photographs of Justify and the other 12 Triple Crown winners. A limited number will be printed. You can pre-order yours today, right now, at shop.bloodhorse.com. When we come back, we'll head to Gulfstream. We'll be joined by Ron Nicoletti to talk about their summer meet and look ahead to next weekend's Summit of Speed. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front, a gorgeous millionaire son of the Great War Front, has wasted no time in establishing himself as a major force in the commercial marketplace. Known on the racetrack for his electric turn of foot, Summer Front's first crop weanlings averaged over $100,000 with a sensational $100,000 median at the Keeneland November sale, all from an initial stud fee of just $10,000. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizu with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
The road to the Triple Crown has come to an end, but the racing's just beginning to heat up this summer on HRRN. We'll bring you all of racing's biggest events this summer with live coverage from Saratoga, Churchill Downs, Woodbine, Belmont, Arlington, Del Mar, and more. Summer racing on HRRN. Go to horseracingradio.net for a complete schedule of events or to listen live.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Less than a quarter of a mile to go in the Princess Rooney and Curlin's approval, and Louis Sayas come away with the lead. In between horses, it's Dearest on the far outside and Distinta. Lightstream begins to hit her best ride, and so does Bird at the Wire. There's an eighth of a mile to go, and Curlin's approval pulling out everything she has, and she starts to get away. Curlin's approval now by 3. Curlin's approval now by 4. It's Curlin's approval on her way to the Breeders' Cup with an easy win in the Princess Rooney. Distinta was second, Lightstream third. Close after that between Dearest and Bird up the Wire in 121-3.
Curlin's approval, a victor in the Princess Rooney Stakes last year at Gulfstream Park. That was part of the Summit of Speed program. Pete Aiello had the call. Curlin's approval could be back to defend that title again this year. She is one of or he is one of 30 horses. She is one of 30 horses nominated to the Summit of Speed, and that Princess Rooney, and should be an outstanding afternoon of racing in South Florida next Saturday. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back with you on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented for the month of June by Woodbine Entertainment. And to help us figure out who could be running in that Summit of Speed program, let's head down to Gulfstream Park and welcome in our good friend Ron Nicoletti. Paisan, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
Everything good. Is good. How about you?
Good. Good. Everything's good.
How's the summer meet?
Last night.
How's that summer meet?
Oh, it's great. I mean, we get some huge fields, and you got the Rainbow Six starting today over 700,000, so it's going to hit the million today. And what we're trying to do, I heard you guys talking about the Summit of Speed. We're trying to see if the Rainbow Six could last till next Saturday, because that'll be a mandatory payout. One way or another, it'll be a mandatory payout because it's closing day of the spring meet.
So that's something everybody needs to shoot for on mandatory payout day. That's kind of like a handicapping contest, right?
Yeah, you know, it's just great because, you know, there's no one unique single ticket. It's just if you got six out of six, or whoever's got the most, you know, six out of six. If you got the one ticket, you win it all. If you got five out of six, you know, it's just a giveaway. So they bet in the past $3, $4, or $5 million on those things on the day. So we're expecting it to be huge on that day if it lasts till then. You still got, six more days of racing. So we'll see how that works out.
Ronnie, you do so much handicapping. Obviously, every day you're handicapping those Gulfstream Park cards. When you talk to people about playing the Rainbow Six, what's your strategy going into a wager like that?
Well, my strategy is, first thing I do, I try and find a single. You know, being a 20-cent wager, so I try and find a single in there. And, you know, maybe if I can find that single, like, you know, some of these two-year-old races or, you know, evenly matched 12-horse fields with on the turf, you sort of have to go a little deeper in there. And that's the beauty of the 20-cent wager. So my first thought is to try and find a single, spread in the races where I can, and sort of keep my ticket affordable to it. You know, whatever anyone can afford, of course, that's the most important thing, you know. And boy, they hit it a couple of times, you know, and a lot of guys, their thought process is they try and get a couple of singles and they take all in the last race because they figure if they get there, you know, you got not everybody takes all in the last race. So there's so many different strategies, but mine is to find that single so I can stretch out in races that knock me out.
Well, it's interesting because if you're going for a single ticket day, you need to have probably at least three horses that are going to be double digits. So you have to go deep in some of the races, and unless you have, you know, a couple of long shots that you really, really like.
Yeah, I mean, to get that single on the one unique day, that is tough, but a lot of people don't realize, even some days when you get six out of six, and, you know, and you go in with a $100 ticket just for argument's sake, it might pay $6,000 or $5,000, especially when it's up, you know, with this kind of jackpot carryover. So you still can be rewarded. You know, you might not get the one single ticket, boy, but it turns out it's a pretty good bet, especially if you're able to, you know, spread around and maybe spend a few bucks, you know, at this time of year, because it's not as many people probably playing as a championship meet. So if you're smart and you're willing to invest, you got a shot to hit. And guys have been hitting them left and right. So
what do you know about the average size ticket that it takes to hit the wager?
Well, I always hear like $1,100, $1,200. That's what I hear. You know, most guys that hit $1,000, you know, when it gets up to the serious money. But there's guys, you know, we had stories where a guy won $800,000 with an $8 ticket. So, you know, it goes both ways. You know, play your phone number too. It's only 20 cents. You know?
Well, I hope you got the number of that guy. He's somebody you want to stay in touch with.
And we had one guy that had, I think he had a one ticket alive for $1 million. And he bought like a whatever ticket he bought. It was not an expensive ticket. That horse had a win. He gets $1 million. If the horse lost, he had nothing. You know what I mean? And the horse, and I'm not even exaggerating, I wish I could remember what year it was, a couple of years ago, had about a six-length lead in the stretch. Looked like he was home free. And here comes this horse.
Comes
this horse. Gets up. Beats his horse by nose. Toughest beat ever, and as far as I'm concerned, in the whole world.
Wow.
That is brutal. Yeah. Absolutely brutal. Does that Rainbow Six look like it's hittable today, Ronnie?
No. There's a lot of wide open races today, and you got two-year-old races in the sequence. So, I mean, you can probably. I don't know if there'll be a single. I think there'll be numerous tickets, unless you get. You know, yesterday we had bombers throughout the day. There was only 80 tickets going into the last race, but one of the favorites won. Oh no, that's right. They took it off the turf because we got a monsoon, so everybody got all in the last race. So I don't know how that would have shaken out. The day before. There was bombers all day long, and there were two tickets alive, and they had a shot, you know, so you never really quite know.
How much does that racetrack change after you get a lot of rain like that?
Well, you know, Gulfstream, traditionally, the main track has always, you know, been fast, but last week, the whole week, was just unbelievable. If you weren't first or right off the pace, you couldn't win on the main track. It was one of those times we hadn't had rain for a week. We came back after our break. We run Thursday to Sunday now. We came back on Thursday, and the track is playing absolutely fair on the main track. So you sort of have to watch your biases. And after it rains, you know, they seal it. It doesn't become like a paved highway, but it definitely is tilted towards speed.
Talking to Ron Nicoletti live from Gulfstream Park here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. If you tune in to their simulcast feed, you're going to see Ronnie almost every single day. He does a tremendous job on the TV side, and of course he does a great job with the handicapping part of it as well. Next Saturday, we mentioned the Summit of Speed. I touched on it as we were coming back from the break. Curlin's Approval, a winner of the Princess Rooney last year. She is nominated to the Summit of Speed program to come back and defend her title. You have XY Jet, who is nominated as well. He's always tough. We might see him in the Smile. What do you think, Ronnie? Good card or what?
Yeah, good card. I mean, a couple of horses, Curlin's Approval, of course, you know, owned and trained by the very colorful Happy Alter, and saw him the other day. You know, he works his horses like right before the first race, it seems. Not really, but it's like 9 o'clock in the morning, and the horse did an easy 47. We're talking about Curlin's Approval, and the horse loves Gulfstream, so certainly one of the horses that's pointed to it. And XY Jet, of course, is the monster in the room. He's working this morning, I believe. I don't know if the horse worked or not yet, but working for the Hood State next week in the Smile.
Well, he's just a sensational horse, tons of speed, and the kind of horse that you could key on in that pick six sequence.
Yeah, but Kathy Ritvo's got Classic Rock that's definitely going to race. Has been really on a nice horse and everything like that. So we'll see if Kathy Ritvo. I mean, that's the two logical ones in the Smile. I think it's Classic Rock, who's just been in great form and running well. Has won two in a row, including back-to-back stakes. Loves Gulfstream, 6 for 7 here. And the same thing with, but you got to deal with XY Jet. That race in Dubai was just unbelievable. He got beat by Mind Your Biscuits. That was a great race to watch.
Yeah, really. Was and Mind Your Biscuits came back and ran well in the Cigar Mile, but Kathy's horse is a nice horse. The Reeves own that one, don't they?
Yeah, the Reeves own that one, and they'll be in town on Wednesday, and they're excited. And this horse is certainly, if you take him anywhere else, he just doesn't run. He seems to, you know, he's one of those true horse for course types that you really have to. You got a big shot. The horse is doing well. It was supposed to work this morning, but as I mentioned at the top, we had a little rain for the last race last night. Track looks great now, but they weren't going to work the horse if there was any water in the track this morning. Probably dried out, but we're going to find that out in a little while.
When you have a horse like XY Jet, Ronnie, who's probably going to be a short price in the Smile next weekend, and he just goes to Dubai, he runs a bang-up race there, then he comes back. Your approach going into a race like that, are you looking to beat a horse like that, thinking maybe the travel has taken something out of him, or are you saying, you know what, this horse is always tough, he's tough to throw out, I'm going to use him?
Well, you know, that's always the question, you know. If you single that horse like that, which, like you said, you know, might be a single in the Rainbow Six sequence and everything like that, I personally would try and beat him because I've seen horses. We had a couple of horses this week coming in, looked like they couldn't be beat, whether they were turning from the layoff for Todd Pletcher. They ran. We had a million-dollar horse I forget the sire right now, but, you know, and they didn't run. So you got to take him. That's how guys hit the Rainbow Six. You got to take a couple of horses in the race, and then you save with that horse being the single. Pioneer of Denial, that's the sire. It's still too early for me. Pioneer, we had a million-dollar Pioneer of Denial horse run here the other day.
Yeah, they can run a little bit. How much do you know about our good friend Terry Finley and West Point Thoroughbreds and their horse pointing for the Summit of Speed, Reason to Soar? I know he's undefeated. He's a perfect 4-for-4 down there at Gulfstream. How much do you know about him?
Well, I don't have a check next to him yet, but it's very early. I actually called yesterday when I knew you were going to be on your show for the racing offer to send me some probables. And this horse is just unbelievable. He's been running great, reason to store, you know. So we'll see. He came down. He's been at Gulfstream. I'm thinking he's going to run. You know, so he's got three in a row and allowance conditions down here for George Weaver. So we'll see how that comes to fruition. But boy, they got a tough mountain to climb with XY Jet in that race.
Yeah, he's going to attract a lot of attention for sure. But if you get a horse like that beat, then you could be well on your way to one of those big payoffs.
Well, without a doubt, and a lot of people are going to try. And that's when the guys that have, you know, the deep pockets that can spread is that sometimes they have that advantage, you know, that they can go spread in races like that where we're trying to keep our ticket, you know, whatever was reasonable for bettors out there. You're like, I give out a ticket every day, but, I mean, I can't put out a $200 ticket. Nobody needs me to put a $200 ticket out. You know, they can put one together themselves.
Ronnie, outside of the Rainbow Six, Gulfstream offers so many other options for bettors, and I think that's why you continue to have so much success even through the spring meet and looking ahead to the summer meet. What other wagers do you tend to focus on outside of the Rainbow Six?
Well, another, you know, of course, the rolling, you know, the early pick five and the late pick five is great. You know, if we ever get a carryover, not much, but if we ever get a carryover in the late pick five, the early pick five, there is no carryover. But the late pick five, if we ever do get a carryover, like with 4 out of 5 the next day, they bet it, you know, like $250,000, $300,000. Because, as you know, a 50-cent wager, it's a great bet. You can spread around. So those are our most popular bets, of course, along with exacta, trifectas, superfectas, and the super high five, which I still don't know how people hit those. That's a tough one to make. You know, dollar wager picking five horses. I tried a couple of times. It just didn't work out very well.
He's the best. He's Ron Nicoletti down at Gulfstream Park. Again, you can catch him on their simulcast feed and make sure you follow his picks throughout the meet. He does a tremendous job. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, Ronnie's going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Ronnie, appreciate the visit, my friend, and we'll catch up with you again soon. Good luck.
You got it, guys. See you soon.
All right, Ron Nicoletti here on HRRN. We're going to get to a break. We're going to come back and turn our attention westward. We'll talk to trainer Doug O'Neill. We'll look back on last weekend's Stephen Foster and look ahead to this afternoon's San Carlos Stakes at Santa Anita. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Castleton Lions is home to blue blood sprinter Justin Phillip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Phillip is among North America's leading second crop sires, represented by the exciting graded stakes place filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing in 2018. Justin Phillip is also the sire of What a Catch, winner of last year's Rockville Center Stakes at 2. 7-time grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance. The sire of Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner, Dre Fong.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
Canadian classic hero, Sir Dudley Diggs.
Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
And marathon specialist, Runtime.
But Runtime, motors on the outside.
Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti, standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Justify is back, and he's center stage on Saturday at Santa Anita. Fans, don't miss out on what could be your last chance to see America's undefeated Triple Crown champion in person. Justify will be paraded between races 4 and 5 by Bob Baffert and his team. Come early on Saturday. First race post time is at 12 noon, and the first 4,000 attendees will receive a beautiful Triple Crown poster free with paid admission, and Hall of Fame jockey Mike Smith will be signing posters from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. in the West Paddock Gardens. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interest and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting
visiting hbpa.org. It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
But it is still Pray for Leslie. Two-length lead. Quick, Quick, Quick has been second throughout. Laney third toward the inside. 50 yards left. Pray for Leslie. Final try from Quick, Quick, Quick. Runs out of racetrack. Pray for Leslie won it.
Pray for Leslie, the three-year-old daughter of Darley stallion Bernardini, remained undefeated in two lifetime starts with that victory in a first-level allowance race at Churchill Downs this past week, earning an 85 buyer speed figure. And that win makes Pray for Leslie your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley stallion Bernardini is the sire of 18 graded stakes winners, 13 grade one horses, and 31 graded stakes horses on dirt since 2015. Only Tappet can top those lofty numbers. Learn more about Bernardini and all the Darley stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
A quarter mile to go, they turn for home, and Pavel takes charge off the turn. Just like that, Pavel's in front by three. Backyard Heaven is coming up empty. Down inside, it's Uncle Mojo battling on. Mature down the center of the track. A welcome is there, too, with Honorable Duty. They're inside the final furlong. It's Pavel with a four-length lead. Honorable Duty moves into second, trying to close. Mature in the outside, Hawakam, but they're all chasing Pavel. Pavel wins the Stephen Foster by three on the wire. Honorable Duty held second, then it was Matru and Hawakam.
Back on the Equine Forum, Mike Penna, Jude Feld, and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Studios. That was Travis Stone with the call of Pavel pulling off the upset in last weekend's Stephen Foster at Churchill Downs. He wins under the lights and he punches his ticket to the Breeders' Cup Classic in November, which, by the way, will be held at Churchill Downs. So that's a good sign for Pavel and a good sign for his trainer, Doug O'Neill, who knows about having success beneath those twin spires. He has trained more than 2,000 winners in his career, and several of his biggest coming right there at Churchill Downs with a couple of Derby wins, now the Stephen Foster. He has had a lot of luck coming to Louisville, Kentucky, and even with all that success, one thing's for sure, he'd be flipping burgers if it wasn't for Jude Feld. Right, Doug?
That is 100% true, Mike. And they wouldn't be the kind of burgers that people would be lined up to get either. They'd be crappy burgers. How are you guys doing? How's your morning going?
So far, so good. How about you?
Fantastic. Just down here, Jude, at beautiful San Leroy Downs.
Oh, nice.
Having a great morning.
Good, good. You can head over to Del Mar and get some breakfast after training. That sounds like fun.
There we go. I like it.
Yeah.
Doug, what is it about you and Churchill Downs? It just seems to go together.
Well, you know what's so funny? I had a meeting with Paul Redham the other day, and so he had taped the NBC coverage. So he said, yeah, you want to watch a little bit? I said, sure, it'd be great. So he puts it on the TV there. We start watching. The first thing they say is, Doug O'Neill, he's two for his last 50 here at Churchill Downs. Wow, they got to bring that up.
Those were pretty good, too.
Those were two pretty good ones, yeah. So, but not, you know, I think it's all, and Jude, you know all about this, it's all about the horse. So we just, we're lucky enough to bring a horse like Pavel there the other night. And credit to Paul Redham after he kind of flopped in the Gold Cup. We were trying to figure out why he ran so poorly. It was Paul's idea that it does seem like Pavel runs so good off the plane and on the road. And he mentioned to Stephen Foster, and boom, it all came together perfectly.
Yeah, it was a really warm night, too. And there were other horses in the race that didn't appear to handle those conditions very well. But for Pavel, it was just business as usual for him.
Yeah. And I guess that's just so difficult to try to understand who's going to handle it and who isn't. But the one thing we had been working on was getting Pavel to kind of calm down and relax. And we went back to taking the cotton out of his ears and not schooling him and just letting him be who he wanted to be. And that's generally a kind of a hot-blooded horse come race day. And and or race night that night. And so he was excitable in the paddock, and we were feeling good about that. And he ran like he had in the past when he got warm. So it was just a great evening there at Churchill.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to bump into you on the way out of the track after the race, and I'm so glad that you mentioned Paul Redham picking that race out, because that's what you told me that night, and I've mentioned it a couple of times, so you corroborated my story. But but that, I mean, that's the cool thing about training for Mr. Redham is, you know, he takes the game seriously, and he has very interesting thoughts on horses sometimes, and he can, you know, kind of be a help.
A big time, and it's not bull crap just telling the IRS guy that it is a business just so he can get some type of help or something. It's the honest to God truth. It's a business for Paul. He absolutely loves it, loves his horses, and he loves the whole strategizing of when they're doing well, you know, what's the best opportunity for the horse. And so now he's so into it. And at the same time, when things aren't going right, which is quite often, he's so supportive and right there, understanding that, you know, these horses aren't machines, and they can fool you for good and bad. So, it's not many people would put horses on planes the way he does, and oftentimes they're real outsiders, and he gives us all a chance to succeed in the big ones.
Doug, I'm shocked to hear that statistic that you threw out there at the beginning of this interview, because it just doesn't seem, we don't look at Doug O'Neill and say, okay, when he comes to Churchill Downs, he doesn't do well, because you look at the two Kentucky Derbies, you look at now the win in the Stephen Foster, it just seems like, well, at least you're winning the right races. And I made the comment after the race as Pavel was coming back to the winner's circle with Mario, and he was standing there waiting to go in. I said, Mario's not going to know which way to go, because he's used to kind of making that right-hand turn and heading across the infield and out to that Derby winner's circle. He didn't know what to do. I was waiting for him to make that right-hand turn.
No, you're right. It's been a blessed place for us, and that stat kind of shocked me too, but it just goes to show that, you know, a good win can kind of squash a lot of non-winning efforts, but it was a great night, and you know, from the band and the music and the youthful energy going on in that in Churchill Downs, it was a fun night, and obviously made even more fun winning the Stephen Foster. But great times, and Mario does, seeing Mario and the Redham Silks turning for home, grabbing the lead, definitely gave us some flashbacks to 2012 and 2016, which are great flashbacks.
Yeah, what's that like for you when you walk in the paddock at Churchill Downs and you see your horse's name up there with the list of Derby winners? Do you reflect on it at all, or you just go, "That's cool"?
No, it gives me goosebumps. It's something that you know, Jude, when you gave me an opportunity to work for you, and you know, my biggest thing was just I couldn't believe I was actually getting paid to work with these horses that I absolutely loved and loved watching compete. So, you know, just to be there at Churchill and have a horse that you were part of, actually a couple of them, be up there, it's truly incredible. And what I feel mostly blessed about, too, is just having the same team that we've had pretty much all along. We just lost our assistant, Jack Sisterson, to Calumet, which, what a great pickup for Calumet, and it's so exciting for us to see him move on and be on his own. But you know, we pretty much, everyone that was with us in 2012 is still with us, and I'm most proud of that. It's a great team.
Do you ever go back and watch those races, Doug, when you're maybe sitting at home or something?
Not really. No, I haven't really done a lot of that, but we have the last, I think it was last year, my wife and I went to Churchill, and we went to the museum there and watched that the amazing Derby film they have there in the museum, and we were both crying, and I mean, it was emotional just to see all the history there, and then to see our ugly mugs part of the history. Like, wait, it's like one of those, somebody goofing on you, throwing yourself in there. But now it's you know, it's definitely the world's most popular race, it seems like, and to be to say you've won it a couple times is more than cool and just a real honor and blessing, and something that we don't take serious or that we take seriously, and you know, want to represent everything in a classy way. So we're extremely grateful.
Well, there's nothing like it, and it's been great for me to watch, obviously, and just see how far you've come and what you've done with your career. It's outstanding, and the way that you conduct your business and treat your help and your clients, really, really proud of you.
Thank you, Jupe. Thank you. And a lot of it watching you. You were a great role model, and the great thing, what I loved about you, too, is you made everything fun. I mean, everyone worked hard, and the horses came first, but, you know, there was always a lot of levity in the barn, and everyone enjoyed being there, and that's, God, I think that's half the battle, is if the employees enjoy being here, that the horses benefit big time from that. So we try to emulate that.
Talking with trainer Doug O'Neill, live from California here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Doug, what's the plan for Pavel from here? How do you get him back to Churchill and ready to peak for that Breeders' Cup Classic?
That's a great question, Mike. You know, talking to Paul the other day, I think as easy as it would be to just think of, racing at Del Mar here in our own backyard, I think because he does so well on the road, Paul's mentioned maybe the Whitney there at Saratoga is maybe his next race. So, and then if that were to happen and that goes well and he comes out of it good, then maybe the Sanita, the Awesome again. And if that went well, then back to Churchill, here we come. That's the dream goal right there.
All right, well, later this afternoon at Santa Anita, you're going to try and record your first victory in the San Carlos, which is a grade two. You're going to send out Stonehands, 4-1 on the morning line. Same team, J. Paul Redham, Mario Gutierrez. Tell us a little bit about Stonehands.
You know, he's a big, good-looking son of a gun. Always has shown tons of talent in the mornings, and we were always challenged to get it out of him in the afternoons. And he just really seems to have mentally matured. And, God, he's just in love with that Sanita surface right now and through a good post. He's got to step it up a little bit, but he's training like he will. So, we're pretty pumped up about watching him run today, and I think he's got a big chance in there.
He's a son of Gainsway Stallion Tapazar. These Tapazars are really running. You think about Monomoy Girl and now, you know, a horse like Stonehands who comes into this race on a two-race win streak. That sire has really got it going on right now, Doug.
Yeah, my brother Dennis really likes that sign as well. We got a nice filly, a two-year-old filly that he bought this past one of these past sales here at San Luis Rey that is a really act like a nice filly. So I agree that Tapazar can definitely you can get some runners by him and with Stonehands. It just took us a while to get it out of him, but it's there, and hopefully in a graded way it's there, so we're excited.
Who's he named after, Stonehands? Or can you say?
No wide receivers, I hope.
Yeah, I know. Actually, a golfing friend of Paul's, who I guess Paul just, I have some golf terminology, he's got no touch around the green or something, but now I can't, I can't think of his name, but it's a friend of Paul's that he plays golf with that he jokes about having Stonehands. So that was the story behind that.
All right, I thought maybe it was a jockey or something, but
Oh, God, Paul and his name. So he's always got, we got Toothless Wonder named after the hockey player, and he's always coming up with goofy names after friends. And as long as the horses are talented, we can deal with the goofy names.
Well, you've had plenty of talented ones, Doug, and I know it's a busy day for you. We'll let you go, but good luck this afternoon, and we look forward to catching up with you up the road here, my friend.
You too, you guys. Thanks for having me. Have a great day, guys.
You too. Doug O'Neill here on HRRN. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, he's going to get a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion. Wear what you love at embracetherace.com. Yeah, stone hands.
Stone hands.
I was glad it was a golfing buddy and not a wide receiver.
Yeah. It reminded me of...
Or a shortstop.
Of Tom Proctor. We had an exercise boy that we shared one time. Tom really upset him because the kid came in to my office and said, "Tom Proctor just told me I had the hands of a butcher."
Never so, good.
Never good.
Yeah, growing up playing baseball, I played third base, and you never wanted people to say that you had stone hands. You always wanted those nice soft hands.
Right. And, like Rafael Bejarano.
Yeah, exactly. Any jockey will tell you that. All right, we're going to get to a break. We'll come back and wrap it up for you. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Grade 1 winner Lee traveled the world competing against the best of his generation. A graded stakes winner on both dirt and turf, he set a new track record in the Grade 1 Don Handicap and retired with earnings of more than $2.3 million. With his much-anticipated first foals hitting the ground this year, the sky is the limit for this promising young stallion, Lee, at Claiborne Farm.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello,
boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meat...
Power.
Tapazar's going to keep Rail Trip at bay. And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
Monomoy Girl, the Kentucky Oaks winner, has taken charge here. And she's pulling away in the acorn.
Performance.
And on the inside, Monomoy Girl, it's down to these two. And it's going to be Monomoy Girl in the Kentucky Oaks.
Gainesway Stallion Tapazar is Tappet's leading miler, breaking his maiden by 10.5 lengths as a 2-year-old. Wiring the Grade 3 Sham Stakes by 4.5 lengths at 3, and running away with the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. A top 5 third crop sire, now with more than $5 million in progeny earnings, including Monomoy Girl, a game winner of the Grade 1 $1 million Kentucky Oaks at Churchill Downs. Tapazar, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is Eddie Delahousie. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Well, we told you we were roughly, well, exactly 132 days away from the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Churchill Downs, and we are only 7 days, 8 hours, and 3 minutes away from the 159th running of the Queen's Plate, Canada's version of the Kentucky Derby, all for Canadian breds, and we will be there next Saturday. This show will be live from Woodbine Racetrack. We'll have special guests to talk about the Queen's Plate. And then, of course, next Saturday afternoon from 4 to 6, you can join me and Acacia Courtney and Jerry Olguin as we get you set for that Queen's Plate. We'll bring you 2 hours of coverage here on the network, 4 to 6 Eastern and Sirius XM 93, I believe. Right, Lee? I think. Yeah, Sirius XM 93 is your home for the coverage next Saturday afternoon. And you can check out our website, horseracingradio.net, for more information. And the Queen's Plate going to be followed on June 30th by the Rico Woodbine Mile. Check that. September 15th by the Rico Woodbine Mile. That's in the fall. And then the Pattison Canadian International, October 13th. And if you're looking for great wagers and quality fields, simply visit woodbine.com or follow them on social media at WoodbineTB and take advantage of all those great bets. Should be a lot of fun north of the border at Woodbine.
Woodbine's always great.
And Jerry Olguin, how about that?
Yeah, he's a good guy. Terrific jockey, nice fella. Rode one of his first races for me when he was a bug boy.
Yeah, you can't make the trip. You have a family reunion next week, so you will not be at Woodbine with me. But Jerry going to fill in, and looking forward to working with him next Saturday afternoon.
Quite a drop in weight from me to Jerry Olguin.
He never gave you a leg up on a horse, did he?
I don't think so.
All right, been a fun show. Our thanks to Pete Rotundo in the first hour, joining us from Royal Ascot, Ron Nicoletti from Gulfstream, and Doug O'Neill from Santa Anita just a short time ago. If you missed any portion of the show, head to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast. Our thanks to our producer, Lee Delapina, and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studio, and Chauncey handling all the social media. For Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next week on the Equine Forum. Thanks for listening, and go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.